Speaking with University of Arkansas Extension Ag Economist Dr. Terry Griffin, a presenter at the John Deere Precision Agriculture Meeting in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And Dr. Griffin, what message do you have for farmers today about precision agriculture?
Well, we had talked about a few different technologies. The main one we talked about was GPS navigation technologies or guidance systems. There's different levels, and I had talked about the whole farm profitability of adding these technologies to the farm. These technologies essentially can increase the effective width of a lot of farm implements to overlap, and I did a whole farm economic analysis to show the benefits of that.
What are some of the main topics and trends in precision agriculture that you see right now?
Well, there's two main types of technology in precision ag. The one that was mentioned is GPS navigation technologies. The other one is working with data, yield data, soil data, that's collected at very dense resolutions. The trends I'm seeing is that although automated guidance and GPS navigation technology was introduced at a later time than yield monitors, the adoption rates have been dramatically faster for industry service providers as well as farmers to adopt GPS navigation technologies.
You work at the University of Arkansas, and your family has a farming operation in this area, but you have also spent time in the Midwest and seen how farmers in that part of the country have adopted precision ag. What are the similarities and differences about adoption and use in the Midwest versus what you have seen here in the South?
Well, there's been a lot of studies that have shown the adoption trends of farmers in both areas, and it's been documented that Midwestern farmers were some of the earliest ones to adopt precision ag, and there was a higher adoption levels. But one of the interesting things about that is with the higher value crops that we have, such as, well, traditionally rice and cotton have been higher value than corn and soybeans, so there was a lot more potential for input savings for the high input crops and some potential for cotton and rice being high value. We have a lot of data from surveys that have shown that Midwest is still has higher adoption levels by the service providers and farmers.
You jokingly at first, but seriously as your presentation went on, talked about and challenge the audience to find out how long it takes them to turn a tractor and an implement around. And why is that important for them to know in terms of being able to quantify the savings from precision ag?
Well, different operators will turn around the equipment on the end rows in a different amount of time. Kind of depends on how hard you hit the brake and so forth, and operator skill. It's important because, for instance, if on cotton ground, if you're hipping cotton ground, instead of making another pass directly adjacent to the previous pass, you can skip a pass and fill them in later by using GPS navigation technologies will save time by not having to pay particular attention to how far over you are, whereas the steering will take over when it's the right distance away. And it is interesting. Most farmers have not measured how long it takes them to turn around and how much time is actually spent turning around and not actually getting work done.
Any other interesting stat that you challenge farmers to know or at least think about was what the overlap was per pass. And quite frankly, based on the answer that you gave, I was surprised it wasn't more than that. I know for me personally, it would have been a higher percentage.
Sure. We assume that a farmer or an equipment operator will overlap 10% of the equipment width. And this may be an artifact of older equipment that in a time when we use equipment that was not as wide. But you know, if we assume a 42-foot field cultivator has a 10% overlap, well, that's 4.2 feet. So we really have a 38-foot field cultivator rather than a 42. And the reason I bring that up is if we can reduce the overlap down to 2 feet or 6 inches, we've effectively made our equipment larger. But it's also interesting, you know, I challenge farmers to, you know, for themselves and our equipment operators to take a measuring tape and just go out and measure the overlap and see where they are. It may be more than 10%, for especially on bigger equipment.
Are you getting more calls, inquiries from growers this winter who, if not wanting to go head first into the technology, at least want to know more about it and maybe like sticking their toe in to try it out?
We're getting quite a bit of calls and questions about that, and it's really amazing that if you look at brand new equipment, it seems to be a lot of it has GPS equipment already on it, more so than equipment that does not have GPS equipment built into it. So I wouldn't say standard equipment, but we're moving in that direction pretty quickly. And to answer your question around about way, precision ag is a system. It's not an individual piece of technology. It's not just automatic guidance. It's not just a yield monitor. There's a lot of benefits that can be achieved by sequentially adopting all these technologies at once. You know, for instance, yield monitors have made on-farm experiments more feasible to collect yield data and to track inputs, the experiment that goes in, and automated guidance makes it that much easier to put in the experiments and making sure that, for instance, on the soybean harvest that our header width, header swaths are constant across passes.
University of Arkansas Extension Agriculture Economist Dr. Terry Griffin at the John Deere Precision Agriculture meeting in Jonesboro, Arkansas. He was a presenter at that meeting. I'm Stuart Doan reporting.